Good morning. This morning I greet you in that name. In that name that is above all names. It's good to be back here to worship with you today. Me and my wife were looking for this day for quite some time. I was not expecting to be standing where I'm standing this morning, but I want to endeavor to continue to do what God asked of me. So this morning, that song that we just heard, do you have your eyes fixed upon the finish line? I think before we go a whole lot further, I got a scripture that I would like to share with you this morning. If you would, turn your Bibles to Acts 20. This is not the portion of Scripture that I'm pulling my message from, but I believe that God has shown me something very clear in this portion of Scripture. Acts 20. I'm going to begin reading on verse 17. Acts 20, verse 17, and from Miletus, he sent to the Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I come into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptation, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And how I kept nothing back. No, excuse me. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto me, unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from the house to house. I believe it would do the children of God good to get the zeal that Paul has here. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, and knowing the things that shall befall me. Save the Holy Ghost, witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now I behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of men. Blood of all men, says. The next verse. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. The whole counsel of God. That was Paul. He wasn't scared to lay the whole foundation, the whole counsel of God before the people that he preached to. Where am I? Where are we in this? Do we hold back a portion because it might, like we heard yesterday morning at the prayer meeting, it might offend? So today, I want to endeavor to bring the whole counsel of God. I mean, in a nutshell, or in some way, that we all are in the whole counsel of God. We don't let anything out. I believe it would be good that we would bow our heads for a word of prayer. Brother Mark, would you want to come up and pray? While we kneel in prayer today, please.
Yes, eternal, righteous Father, as we do bow here this morning, we do thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to gather and to worship you in truth and spirit, Father, this morning. Lord, we ask your blessings upon every brother and sister that came here today. Lord, that we would come, that we would came with open hearts, and if you'd have anything that you want to speak to us today, Lord, that you'd use Brother James. You would use him, Lord, as a vessel this morning. Use the Word of God to come forth through him, Lord, and to us. So we just pray, Father, today that you would just meet with us. You would just continue on, Lord, using us for the kingdom. Lord, that we would hold nothing back, Lord. We would be open before you, that we would be honest, and we would just continue on seeking the things which are above, seeking the things that pertaineth to godliness and righteousness and holiness. So, Lord, we do pray for Brother James this morning, Lord, that you would bless him. God, you would give him peace, calmness. You would just, Lord, allow him to stand and share what he has on his heart today, Lord. So we just want to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
I just want to thank you, Brother Bob, for that children's lesson today. I think that was a lesson that we all can take great measures. And great measure in living that out. Today, I would like to share with you something that has been a burden on my heart. And as we spend some time away from home, different places of the world, meeting lots of different kinds of people, different denominations. And this message that I have this morning to share with you was stemmed from what I have experienced. I'm going to title the message, Rekindle the Spiritual Fire Within. Rekindle the Spiritual Fire Within. Brothers and sisters, you are on fire for something. The question that I have for you and me both, you all and me both, what are you on fire for? What is your passion? What is your heart burning after? You're not neutral. Your heart is burning after something. And as I see this broad scope of this fire, the spiritual fire is going out. This spiritual fire in God's people is being extinguished. They come from all over, and you see some that are on fire. Praise the Lord. But today I want to exhort us to get on fire for God. Because we're living in a time like never before, where the enemy is out there to destroy and to kill. And he's trying to extinguish that fire of God that's within you. And he's taking all measures. There's a day coming that I want us to be ready for. And that day is coming. I got to keep going. That'll maybe come up later. You've all built fires before, right? Bonfires, campfires, right? What happens when you just keep on heaping the wood on? What happens? You keep a fire going. The fire keeps burning. And sometimes we have to stir the ashes together. Maybe it dies down a little bit. We have to stir it together a little bit. And we pour more coal in the fire. What happens? It springs up. It burns. But if we don't rekindle that bonfire, it's going to go out. It's going to go out. And brothers and sisters, that's what I see happening in the children of God today. The fire is going out. It's going out. They just live this lazy, dazzical, whatever you want to call it, life. They talk about things that have no value. Brothers and sisters, today, I say this carefully, but I'm not preaching to those outside these walls. I'm preaching to you all in here today. And I'm asking you this question: what are you on fire for again? Because if we want to stand in that day where it says in Luke 21 that they, in the last days, they're going to lay hands on you. And if we don't continue to rekindle the fire, the spiritual fire, by the way, when that day comes, we'll probably say we might be a Muslim because we want to not face what may befall us if we say we're on fire for God and we're going to stand on that. But we need to get rekindled today. We see it happening. We get born again. And we truly do. And we have this revelation. We have our sins all forgiven and we get all fired up. And it's good. But as time goes on, some, maybe not so long, maybe some others a little longer. Maybe some a little longer. But the fire's dying. Fire's going out. We start to waver. We start to question. We start to question some aspects of the Bible. And we're going to talk a little more about that a little later. We stumble and we fall. And we forget to get up. Brothers and sisters, this message was not hard to prepare for. And the reason is this. because I found in many ways, many areas, I had to rekindle the fire. I had to put more coals in the fire in my life as I was preparing for this message. The longer we stumble and we fall, the longer we stay at that position, the harder and harder it gets to get up. And it's not the heart of God. Let's continue to rekindle this fire. There are some points that I would like to share with you today that have a tendency of dragging down, of extinguishing the fire. By the way, extinguishing means this, is to put out. To annihilate. By the way, it's in Him. It's in Him. It's in Him that we can get up in the morning. It says in Matthew 19:24, He says, He says, without me, you can do nothing. It's in Him that you can open your eyes in the morning. It's in Him that we can walk. It's in Him that we can live holy lives. That's the only way that you can live holy is in Him. You can do anything you want in your own strength, in your own doings, but it's only in Him that you can be holy. We need to rekindle that fire. Holiness in Him. There's one thing that this might be pointing direct to our leaders and our elders, but brothers and sisters, I believe it leads right down to us too. There are false teachers going round about, and they are trying to deceive the elect. Brothers and sisters, elders and leaders, we need to get that fire burning. That fire, a spiritual fire burning within us. When He says, mark them. Mark them. I'm not going to go into a lot of details in it. Read the Scriptures and it tells you who they are. So, leaders, elders, ministers, children of God, let's get this fire burning within us that we can discern. We can discern when they come, when they try to speak great swelling words. Let's get that fire rekindled so we can discern. By the way, we could be a fire extinguisher in other people's lives too. We can extinguish other people's spiritual walk by the way we talk and act and carry on. not the heart of God. The heart of God, that we kindle the fire of brotherly love, lifting one another up, carrying each other. I got eight things that I'm going to go through, and I'm going to go through them rather quickly. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. Maybe some of these I'll spend a little more time. But I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these things. Because these things are negative things that extinguish the fire. The spiritual fire. By the way, I want you to get this correct and right this morning. I'm only speaking of the spiritual fire today. All others needs to be extinguished. It needs to be put out. And then we can maybe relight and reignite that spiritual fire. First one I have on the list is discouragement. That's a big one. Brothers, if we don't get a hold of this one, and I could share some testimonies of this in the past, that it'll out and it'll dampen the fire. Busyness of life. Number two, busyness of life. And don't misunderstand me. I know you as fathers in here, you have families and you need to supply. You need to supply for those children. But let's make it a family thing. And if the family is maybe pulling apart, and let's reunite that thing. And the busyness of life. You know what I'm talking about. I got caught up into that even where I was. Even out there where I was serving, I got caught up in the busyness of the whole thing. Unforgiveness is another one. Unforgiveness. We can see that rooting deeper and deeper in some people's lives. Possibility, anyways. They just can't get it. They just can't get a hold of that. Unforgiveness. Bitterness. These all linked together, by the way. Bitterness. I know that I live a good portion of my life in bitterness. The spirit of witchcraft. That's a killer. That's a fire extinguisher. In the kingdom of God. That's a fire extinguisher in the child of God. Where we stand in that. Search the scriptures. We're not going into any details. I don't have to. It's in the scriptures. And it tells us, and it puts it very clearly where it's at. Where do we stand? In witchcraft. It's a fire extinguisher. Spirit of debate. Where are we standing in that? I believe the spirit of debate can tear down more spiritual lives in others than it can in our particular, in ourself. Just a spirit of debate. What about the spirit of rebellion? And number 8, the spirit of worldliness. The spirit of worldliness. By the way, everything I mentioned is worldly. Discouragement. The world is discouraged. Amen? The world is in a total discouragement. And they don't know what to do about it. It's worldly. Busy. The world is busy. They're just going and going and going. And they want to go some more. They just want to go more and more. Worldliness. The world lives around an unforgiveness spirit. It's the world. These are things that they extinguish the spiritual fire within the child of God. And we must, as children of God, see them as they are. If we want to make it to that finish line. The world's bitter. Brothers, I think since I'm at that point right there, I believe there's a testimony that I'd like to share with you that we experienced in Columbia, Mississippi. We firsthand, Brother James Yoder and I, we pulled into Columbia, Mississippi for the first time. And we pulled, the first house we pulled up to, the house was all dilapidated, was all torn down. Basically, the tornado took half the roof off, tore the one side of the house completely away, and it was a sight. We pulled up and we went and did more than stop the vehicle. The lady that was in that vehicle got out of that vehicle and she come running up to the car and she was yelling and screaming, just filled with bitterness. Filled with bitterness. Using choice words. Unbelievable. Jim Joder just rolled up the window and we just drove off. Because it wasn't a pretty sight. And we both looked at each other as we was driving down the road and I said, wow, what if we get to work for her? With that bitter attitude and that angry attitude. The world, that's what it's full of. It's full of it. So unless we as children of God keep that fire kindle within us, and we meet situations like that, we're not going to be able to deal with it. And that's what I see is happening. People can't. It's just not there. That's why it motivated me to preach this message of rekindling the spiritual fire within. But anyways, I'm going to make this story a little short. We did end up that job to rebuild for her got landed in our hands. So we decided, well, we might as well just face it head on. So we went over to this house again. But this time, we took a little bit different measure. A little bit later, I'm going to talk about the spirit of fear. But anyways, we pulled up and we both got out of the vehicle. And she got out of her vehicle at the same time. And she came at us exactly the same way. By the way, she was 70 years old too. And she was just a little thing too. But she was bitter. And she was angry. The world. And she started to, we're not quite all sure what took place, but somebody promised her something she didn't get. And she was angry. And she was bitter.
Could I get a cup of water, please?
So, and I praise the Lord that Brother James Yoder, he just stood up and said, wait a minute. Stop right there. He said, do you want help? He said, well, yeah, I want help. What do you mean? Yeah, I want help. He said, well, then you're going to have to change your attitude. And you're going to have to watch your mouth. Brothers, if we're not on fire for God, if we're not on fire for God, we're going to wilt under those circumstances. And I bless James Yoder for this. He stood right up against her. And the next reaction was this right here. She just threw her hands up and said, oh, Lord Jesus, please forgive me. Right there. She had two daughters stand by her, and they both laid their hands on their mom. And she said, oh, forgive me for all my sins. Right there. And she never was the same lady after that. We moved her in her new home 2 days before I came home. And I could show you pictures and I could show you videos of this lady. That's unbelievable. We had her hymn singings in Columbia, Mississippi at a First Baptist church. And I invited her to the singing and she came the first night. She didn't say a word, she just came. She came with her two daughters, a couple of her nephews. Well, the next week I went up to her and I asked her, Miss Jean, by the way, is her name. And she said, would you consider in our next hymn singing to share with us? Because she was a total different lady. And I believe she had something to share with us. Is she where we'd like to see where she should be? No, but we need to have grace. God will take care of the rest. She says, yeah, I'll share. So their next hymn singing, she gets up and says, by the way, she quit smoking. Nobody ever told her one word about her smoking. And she was asking questions about a dress. Only by a child of God, on fire for God, standing up and say, wait a minute, no. We're not going there. I'm not going there. In her last words at that hymn singing, she shared before she sat down were these right here. She said, I served the devil all my life, 70 years old. But today, I believe I'm going to glory. But if we, as children of God, don't prepare for those moments, where would she be? We need to be ready. And we need to keep rekindling that fire to reach out for lost souls. They're all over. They're in Graybill. They're in New Haven. They're in Fort Wayne. They're all over. And they're lost, going to hell. And we, as God's people, need to rekindle that fire to save souls from eternal damnation. If the children of God don't, who's gonna? Who's gonna? The answer to that is nobody. And they're going to hell by the groves. So what would keep us from rekindling the fire in that aspect? So brothers and sisters, if we are caught up in one of these, discouragement, busyness of life, unforgiveness, bitterness, witchcraft, spirit of debate, spirit of rebellion. I guess there is another, while I'm on that rebellion, we may not see it as rebellion, but let me share you a testimony of a rebellious man that I experienced, but he was a nice man. He was a nice man. Was nothing mean about him. But let me share something with you. The man was rebellious. Again, this is something that happened. Literally happened out on the job site one day. And we ordered 10 yards of concrete. Forgive me if I'm going out on a rabbit trail here. But we ordered 10 yards of concrete. And they bring this concrete out in this dilapidated back end and loader. Why would you ever buy one of those, by the way? He pulled in there and he stopped. He started looking at the situation and he gets out and he says, "No, I can't get back there. No, I can't get back there." But he was saying it in such a kind way. And I just walked up to him and said, "You know what? I believe we can get back there. I believe we can get back there." "No," he says, "I can't get back there. That big stump here," he said, and there was a stump there. He said, "I can't get this truck around that stump." By the way, those trucks are hard to get around things. I have to admit that. But he said, "No." He said, "I can't get around that stump. I just can't do it. I just can't do it." You know, my patience was being tried because I knew he could get around that stump if he wanted to. So I just pleaded with him, "Sir, why don't we just try it?" "No, no, no." I said, "Well, sir, you got 10 yards of concrete in there and it's going to get hard. We're going to have to do something." "Oh," but he says, "I might roll the truck over if I try." "No," I said. I said, "Are you willing to listen to me? Are you just willing to listen to me?" I said, "We have to get this concrete off this truck. And with you and I working together, we might get it off the truck. But if we don't, it's going to get hard in your truck, and then what?" But he was just, he was just bucking. Rebellion, that's what it is. But he was a nice guy. He was smiling the whole entire time. Nothing mean about him. But I said, "Please, listen to me. Get in the truck." Maybe somebody's telling us, "No, don't go there. Don't go there. Oh, yeah, please just listen. Please. If you don't, it's going to not turn out right. Let's not rebel against it." So I said, "Just get in the truck. And listen, let's try together." I said, "Go out on the street, turn the truck around, and you pull in. You pull in." But the whole time, he did this so reluctantly that I could tell you that it wasn't going to work. Rebellion. That's what it was. So he gets in his truck and he revs up the motor, and I could just tell inside this man was a raging wolf. But he was keeping it calm. He was all the way through. He kept it calm. So he gets in the truck and he revs up the motor, backs out the drive, pulls in there. And I said, "Now, wait a minute. Stop. Don't." What he was going to do, he was just going to bring that thing in there. And you know what? That's exactly what he done. That's exactly what he done. He just got in there and he'd run over me. And he just brought it in there and dilapidated away and he got the thing stuck. That's what he wanted. That's exactly what he wanted. So there he was. Now he had 10 yards of concrete on the truck, and he was stuck. And all he had to do was just listen just for a moment. And we would have had him close. What I was going to do is get him close, and then we was going to wheelbarrow the rest. But now he was far away, stuck, because he couldn't listen. Rebellion, brothers and sisters, that's what that was. But praise the Lord. We kept calm. Nobody got upset. But that ain't all he did. He went and took the barrel off. You know, the barrel that's spinning to keep the concrete going? He turned it off. Why? Rebellion. What he was telling me there without words, if you'd have listened to what I have to say, the truck wouldn't be stuck here. So now I'm going to turn off the barrel. Did I get the point across? That's rebellion to the core. Maybe we don't think we're rebellious. Or maybe somebody's trying to direct our... Maybe somebody is trying to direct our life. Maybe somebody sees that you're going the wrong direction. And he's speaking into my... I have some more testimonies to share with you about that particular thing happened to me. Somebody told me that I was doing something wrong. And I just... We're human. But maybe somebody's telling me, no, don't go that way. There's danger over there. Don't go that way. And we just say, hey, I know what I'm doing. And you're not going to tell me which way to go. Brothers and sisters, that's rebellion. That's rebellion. And it can be in many aspects of living. It can be, I say this carefully, it can be in the most worldly aspect, and it can be in the most conservative aspect. There's a fine line. And we need to get this fine line rekindled and alive for God. If we expect to make it, we need to lay off this rebellious and debate, witchcraft, worldliness, bitterness. We need to lay it off. Okay, that's enough for that. Now, I would like to share with you a few things that we can do to rekindle the fire. Now, that was pretty much that picture that I just painted. Here just now was pretty doom gloom, right? Wasn't a pretty picture. Wasn't. It's ugly. It's very ugly. But it doesn't have to be that way. Let's rekindle the fire in seven areas. And I'm going to have to go through these rather quickly. The first one is to stir up the gift of God within you. Now you might sit in here and say, well, I don't have no gift. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Turn with me. 2 Timothy 1. Second Timothy 1, verse 6 says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God. Paul was talking to Timothy here. He was telling him, you have a gift. Stir it up. Rekindle that thing. And you have a gift too out there. Every one of you. You have a gift. Stir it up. Rekindle that thing, whatever it is. We can do it. By the grace of God, we can do these things. Stir up the gift of God that's within you. Stir it up, get it lit, get it burning, and get it burning hot. Get it roaring. Like I mentioned earlier, they're going to hell by the groves. So it's time to get these fires burning. The gift that's in you. Peter 4:10 says, I might have the wrong one there. Sorry about that. I'll just go across that. But anyways, Ephesians tells us that let's turn to Ephesians off. I think it's Ephesians 4. If you would please turn there. I'm going to have to keep... Ephesians 4. I'm going to read several verses in that scripture there. And I believe that somewhere in here you can find yourself. I believe. I don't believe you're just sitting in here and you're neutral. I don't believe that. You are somewhere. God has given you some kind of gift. Verse 9. Ephesians 4 says, now that he ascended, what is but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far up, far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He gave some apostles, he gave some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Why? Why did he do these things? For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. So if it's edifying for the body of Christ, and he possibly made you a teacher of some sort, why don't you want to stir that flame? If it's edifying for the body of Christ, why don't you just want to ignite that thing? Till we all come into a unity. Of the faith. And of the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto a perfect man. Unto the measure of stature. Of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth. Be no more children. Tossed to and fro. Carried by every wind of doctrine. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Let's stir it up, brothers. Some of these coals might be starting to get a little far apart. And they might not be able to make contact with each other, but let's stir them things together. Let's stir them coals together. Put them together, and let's pour more coal on. We're going to need to. If we don't, by the way, I'm going to inject this. I believe we can help each other. I believe this from the bottom of my heart that we can help each other to rekindle fire. Help each other. Hey, brother, come on, let's go. We can do this thing together. We can do it together. That's helping each other rekindle the fire. Come on, you need help to go to Fort Wayne next week? Let's go. Let's go. Rekindle the fire of a teacher, of a pastor, or an evangelist. Number two, considering the resources. Considering God's resources. One of God's great resources is one word. Power. He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power. Verse 7, 2 Timothy. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. That's a huge resource of one of God's resources that we can get a hold of. His power. Exercise it. Rekindle it. So that when we face dilemmas like we shared earlier, that we have the power to tell her no. By the way, that's his power. That's not my power, that's his. But of power and of love, another resource. Another one of God's resources that we need to rekindle. The love. It's diminishing. It's diminishing. Just a little bit on, again, the fear that gripped me that day, that when that lady came at us like that, was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. But by the power of God, we was able to minister to her. Don't let fear stand away. But he doesn't give you fear. He gives you the power. We need to get these verses. We need to get them in here. And do I have these things mastered, brothers? No. But I want to. I want to get this mastered. I want to be on fire in all these aspects of God. All these resources. Self-control. Sometimes I lack self-control. But it's a resource that God gives us, self-control. So let's rekindle that. If you have self-control, don't try to put it out. By no means. Keep it rekindled. Pour on the fire. Do I have self-control? At this time, I think I'm going to share that testimony where my self-control was tested. And I'm not going to, by no means, I'm not saying this story to belittle anybody, by no means. It was an eye-opener to me. It was a test for me by all means. And it took me a little time to get self-control and how to deal with this thing. The last Sunday that we were at Columbia, Mississippi, me and my wife had an area that we wanted to go visit before we go home. And we also wanted to visit a Baptist church there. I got to be good friends with the pastor, and he invited us. And by the way, I was I'm not a supporter of Baptist churches by no means. But that day, I have to say, I was blessed. I don't get the idea that I'm going Baptist now. That's not the point that I'm getting at here. But I was blessed there that day. But I was also one that I wasn't so blessed. I was going to share that earlier here. Now I'll wait till the story's done. But anyways, I decided that instead of, and our base was like 15 miles from where we went to church. And the place where we wanted to go visit would have been like 15 miles, like a V shape. So we'd have had to go back to there and then drive back up to here if we went home for lunch. And if I would have been thinking, you know, maybe not so much of myself, and maybe a little bit others and took others in perspective, maybe this wouldn't have happened. But it happened. I told my wife, we'll just stop and get a sandwich. Talked to some of the staff, and they said, that's okay. But there's one that I didn't ask. And we walked in this restaurant, which was Hardee's, and I noticed she was hanging back there, and finally she told my wife that she doesn't have her billfold along. And I never gave no further thought. I just said, well, just come on up, and I'll buy your sandwich too. And she came up, she ordered a sandwich, and never gave it a thought that I was doing something wrong. I say I was doing something wrong. I don't believe God saw me buy those sandwiches. I don't believe that. Because he saw my heart. And I'm not making a habit of going out eating on Sunday either, by the way. But anyways, I get a phone call from CAM headquarters on Tuesday. And you know what he told me? He said, you messed up. What? I messed up? Self-control. So yeah, you seriously offended that person by going out to eat. And you need to go apologize to her. Boy, I tell you, if there ever was a time that I had to get a hold of my self-control, was then. What about the sandwich I bought her? You know, do you ever do? Those things don't happen to you, huh? Well, they did me. Boy, I tell you, when I went home, talking about, you know what? Self-control was just not intact. I need to rekindle that thing so I got self-control. Because it is one of God's resources, by the way. So how am I going to do this? But you know what? I said, it's got to be done. It's got to be done. I got to do it. So I didn't wait very long. I did not wait very long. I called her over and I said, hey, I'm very sorry for what I done yesterday or Sunday. That was not my intentions to offend you. I am very sorry. Will you please forgive me? Oh, it's okay. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Well, self-control wanted to kick in gear again. Instead of that, I just want to say, well, if that's the case, then why did you make a phone call? It's no big deal. You know, are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Self-control. I said, yeah, it was a big matter. It was a big deal. I shouldn't have done that. Just forgive me. I'll forgive you. I'll forgive you. And she went on. Self-control. I need help. And then it wasn't over. We left on Saturday, and before we left, we went back into our little apartment. And here this same girl bought a chocolate bunny rabbit and gave it to somebody for an Easter Sunday present. I about grabbed that thing and I wanted to ride all over that thing. Self-control. Self-control. I want to tell her, you were so worried about going out to eat a sandwich on Sunday, but then you buy a bunny rabbit for a gift for somebody on Easter. Come on, what's the matter with you? No. I just prayed for her. I just prayed for her. Said, Lord, have mercy. Maybe she doesn't know. Maybe she don't know. Maybe nobody's ever told her. I don't know. Self-control. I'm going to have to go. I'm just going to go through these a little quicker than now. Accepting the negative aspects of the gospel. And those are being rejected. Being rejected, it's going to happen. If you're on fire for God and you are out there and you're telling others about it, people are going to reject you. That's negative. That's a negative aspect of the gospel. Let's rekindle that fire that we can accept those negative slanders or negative whatever somebody throws at you. That we can accept it and we can rise above it and we can ride on. Another one is remembering God's call in our lives. We touched a little bit of that about a gift of God. Same thing. God has called you out. And He has a call for you. And it's a holy calling. Flame it. Rekindle it. Get it burning. Because it is a holy calling. Don't feel I'm doing justice on some of these, but I'm going to have to keep going. He called us out to a holy calling. He called us for His purpose. Not our own purpose. It's a holy calling. He called us to live holy lives. Let's rekindle that one and get it burning. So when they come to you and say, look, you either give it up or else, you can just boldly do like they did way back. Go ahead. Go ahead. Because I have far much more to go to than here. Go ahead. The sooner the better. But we need to get this flame burning. Number five, realizing our Christian duties. And there is a field of these things. Preach the word in season and out of season. Christian duties. Bring up the children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Christian duties. Let's nurture these things. Let's rekindle these things. I'm not a father of little children anymore. But I have a plea that I like to make. Young fathers and mothers, don't let the children bring you up. I hope you understand, take that statement with love. Don't let the children bring you up. Because they'll try it. They'll try it. Rekindle the fire of admonishing, exhorting one another as we see the day approaching in this aspect of Christian duty. Next one, number six. Love our wives as Christ loved the church. Love our wives as Christ loved the church. That's Christian duty. Men, if you see this happening across the globe, this thing has gone out. And I trust that every husband in here today loves their wives. But love them more. I need that for myself. Love them more. By the way, not more than Christ, by no means. That's not what I'm portraying here. But love them. Kindle that fire of loving your wife more. Respect those that have rule over you. I'm asking you these. I'm putting these things before you. I don't have time to search these to go through these things. But respect those that have rule over you. If you would with me, turn to Hebrews 13:7. It says, "Remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God." I think this is very clear here, that if somebody has rule over you, that is walking with God, is on fire with God, and he's admonishing me for something that I've done that I shouldn't have done, then I believe I need to listen to him. That's what I believe. What would have happened? Where would I stand today when I got that phone call and said, "You need to go apologize to her"? No, not going to do it. No. Respect those that have rule over you. That man, the day he made that phone call, he had rule over me. And he told me to do something that wasn't wrong. And I needed to, by the grace of God, respect that. Because I feel he's a godly man. By the way, it was the same man that stood up against that woman and said no. Now what would have that been like if I said, "Come on, I never. Respect those that have rule over us. That is a Christian duty. If we can't do it, we need to reflame that. We need to kindle that fire and get it flamed up. And we need to get it burning hot. We need to get it roaring so we can respect those that have rule over us. Fan the Christian duties in a pure courtship. Young people, take this serious. Fan that Christian duty. Get that thing burning hot to make a vow that I'm going to have a pure courtship. Because if it's not, it's wrong. Period. So we need to fan that thing. We need to get that thing alive, that I'm going to have a pure courtship by the grace of God. And you will be blessed beyond comprehension. I can't say that. So I encourage you young people in here, take it to heart. By the way, that's God's rule. That's just not some rule I made up. It's just ways that we can flame the fire. Flame the fire. Get it burning. Let's not get a fire extinguisher and try to out in that thing. Let's get a fire burning that that thing can't out. There are fires that fire extinguisher cannot put out. And that's the fire that God wants burning in your lives. That cannot be put out. That needs to be our goal, to get that fire burning that hot that it can't be put out. They said that fire in Graybill, they were spraying water on it from top and bottom in both ends, and they couldn't do nothing with it. And that's what God expects us from His people, that spiritual fire within us is burning that hot that you cannot put it out. By the way, this is going to all be worth it. It's going to all be worth it. It's not in vain. It's not in vain to get this fire burning. It's not. Young people, brothers and sisters, it's all worth it. Let me read a portion of Scripture to tell you that it's all worth it. In closing, I'm going to read Thessalonians 4. And I love these scriptures. You probably heard me share them before, but I'm going to share them with you again. It says, verse 13, Thessalonians 4, it says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brothers, concerning them which are asleep, but that you sorrow not, even as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall ascend. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel." It's going to be worth it. "With the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds." And to meet the Lord in the air. We don't want to miss it. If you have a fire that's just barely burning, and you have, by the way, if you have other fires burning, put them out. Like I said before, put them out. And rekindle this fire, the spiritual fire. Because you want to be part of this. To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You don't want to miss it. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Sorry that I kind of went over my time today. But brothers, I had this burden, and I wanted to unleash it. Let's get it burning. Let's get it burning. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, kind Heavenly Father, we do bow here in your presence at this moment. We do thank you. We do thank you for your word. We do ask you, Lord, to be in the midst of this. We'd ask you, Lord, that you take those words that you have spoken. And first and foremost, that you would speak them into my life. That I can, with a passion, serve you more than I have at this point. I just pray that any soul in here that is maybe struggling in whatever area they're struggling, that you would have mercy upon them. And that you could maybe give them the unction and the wisdom and to rekindle that fire in whatever area that needs to be rekindled. Father, maybe this one that way and the other one that way. But God, you know the hearts of all men and women in this room. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to come down and touch the hearts of everyone in here and put a finger on where maybe it needs to be rekindled. Mine, first and foremost, Lord. The Father, we ask your presence upon this house the remainder of this day. And we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.